Hello everyone, my name's Christopher Gaze. I bring Christmas greetings from all of us at Barn on the Beach to all of you. God bless us, everyone. Which leads us to Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, and this is the final stave. Raising his pale arm, the ghost of Christmas yet to come drew Scrooge to a dismal, wretched, ruinous churchyard. The spirit stood among the graves and pointed his spectral fingers down to one cracked and overgrown stone. Before I draw nearer, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they shadows of the things that only may be? Even still, the ghost pointed downward to the grave. Oh, men's courses will foreshadow certain ends, but if the courses be departed from, the ends will change. Say it is thus with what you show me. But the spirit was immovable as ever, its stance implacable. Scrooge crept towards the stone, trembling as he went, and following the finger, read upon the stone of the neglected grave his own name, Ebenezer Scrooge. Falling upon it, he cried, "No, spirit, oh, no, no, spirit, hear me! I'm not the man I was. Why show me this if I'm past all hope? Assure me that I yet may change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in my heart, and I will try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Oh, tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone. I'm not the man I was. I am not the man I was." Holding up his hands in one last prayer, he saw an alteration in the phantom's hood and dress. It shrunk, collapsed, and dwindled down into a bedpost. Yes, the bedpost was his own. The bed was his own. The room was his own. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own to make amends in. He heard the churches ringing out the lustiest peals he'd ever heard, and running to the window, he opened it. He put out his head. No fog, no mist, no night. Clear, bright, golden day. "What's today?" cried Scrooge, calling downward to a boy in Sunday clothes. "Eh? What's today, my fine fellow?"
"Today? Why, it's Christmas Day."
"Christmas Day? I haven't missed it."
"My fine fellow."
"Yes?"
"Do you know the poulterer's in the next street but one? At the corner?"
"I should hope I did."
"Well,
an intelligent boy. A remarkable boy.
Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? The big one?"
"What? The one as big as me?"
"What a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to him. Yes, yes, my buck."
"It's hanging there now."
"Is it? Well, go and get it."
"What?
No, no, no. I'm in earnest. Tell the poulterer to bring it here, that I may give them the direction where to take it. Come back with a man, and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes, and I'll give you a half a crown."
The boy was off like a shot. "I'll send it to Bob Cratchit's. He shan't know who sends it. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim." In the afternoon, he turned his steps towards his nephew's house. He passed the door a dozen times before he had the courage to go up and knock. The door was opened by a servant girl, whose gentle smile encouraged the halting Scrooge. And from behind the closed door of the drawing room could be heard sounds of a piano and laughter. Scrooge silently handed the girl his coat and hat, and he walked towards the door. As he entered the room, the joviality fell away. In silence, Scrooge walked to where his nephew and his wife were seated. Fred sprang up and grasped his hand.
Uncle Ebenezer, he could only say. His face lit up with pleasure. Fred's wife remained seated, almost afraid. But her look softened as Scrooge smiled shyly. Unused to the tenderness that flowed through him, he said, "Can you forgive a pig-headed old man for having no eyes to see with, nor ears to hear with all these years?" "Oh, yes, dear uncle," she replied, and her eyes filled with tears. "You've made Fred so happy." At a signal from one of the guests, the piano player struck up a vigorous polka, and the whole company swept into a dance. Scrooge, the unsteady but enthusiastic partner of his nephew's dear wife. Scrooge was early at the office the next morning. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late. That was the thing he'd set his heart on. And he did it. The clock struck 9. No Bob. 9:15. No Bob. Bob was a full 18 minutes and a half behind his time. Scrooge sat with his door wide open, that he might see him come into the office, and when he finally arrived, he came in so quietly, hoping that Scrooge would not hear him, and he was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen, as if he was trying to overtake 9:00. "Hello there," growled Scrooge in his accustomed voice, or as near as he could pretend it. "What do you mean by coming here at this time of day?"
"Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time."
"Yes, indeed you are. Step this way, if you please, Mr. Cratchit."
"It's only once a year, sir. It shan't be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir."
"Oh, I'll tell you what, my friend. I'm not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer. And therefore..." Scrooge paused for more fearsome effect. "And therefore... I'm going to raise your salary."
Bob trembled and got a little nearer to a heavy ruler. Scrooge's harsh demeanor fell away, and the reform man smiled gently. "No, no, Bob. I haven't taken leave of my senses. I've come to them. A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I've given you for many a year. Yes, I'll raise your salary. And I'll help you to raise that family of yours, if you'll only let me. We'll discuss it later over a bowl of hot punch. And in the meantime... put some more coal on the fire before you dot another I and cross another T and go out and buy a new coal scuttle. You go and do that, Bob Cratchit."
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.